Talitha kum, little girl, arise. These intimate, gentle, loving words of Jesus carry power. Imagine this frail, beautiful, innocent 12-year-old girl, seemingly lifeless on that bed. Jesus' hands were strong and calloused. He was a carpenter, and his hands must have been very calloused, very strong, very worn. And he reaches out this huge, strong, calloused hand, gently grabbing the little hand of that 12-year-old girl, lifeless. Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, arise. Imagine the shock on the face of the parents and those around him when this girl they believe to be dead opens her eyes and immediately walks around. Jesus lifts her up from a state of death to new life, and his gentleness and love for her goes above and beyond. Give her something to eat. She's hungry. Jesus' healing is not a job. It's a way of life that is loving and gentle and compassionate, especially to the women. And today's gospel, whether it's the raising from the dead of this 12-year-old girl or the woman suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, in both instances, we see how God is toward women, revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And if you're not able to pick it up, there's a stark contrast with how God is toward women and how men in our world today, including some leaders in the church, are toward women. A big difference. In our own country, women were not allowed to vote just because they were women. When our country was founded, the only people that could vote for president were white males who owned land, and women were never considered. You don't have to look long and hard to see the inequality between men and women, whether it's both doing the exact same job and not being paid the same, or whether we go back and even today with histories of male chauvinism, machismo, violence toward women, femicide, the abuse of women and the rape during war as means of war and terror, even happening now in Ukraine, happening to the Jewish people when they were attacked by Hezbollah so many months ago. The abuse of women, the subjugation of women as second-class citizens by the dominant male majority in our world today and throughout history is no secret. It's sadly nothing new. And it couldn't be more contrasted with how God treats women. This subjugation of women as second-class citizens began with the first sin. First, men, often intentionally misinterpreting scripture, blame women for the sin of Eve. Eve ate the fruit. That's why death and sickness entered the world. That's why fruit that had no damaging effects on the person now do because of original sin. It's all the woman's fault. And they claim to base that on scripture, rejecting and denying what God did. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't go looking for Eve. Eve, what have you done? God went looking for Adam. Adam sinned first by letting the serpent into the garden and not laying down his life to defend the garden and Eve, his wife. But we blame the woman, historically. And God says after the sin to the woman, you will submit yourself to him and he will dominate you. That's not a good thing. That's not what God wanted, but that's the fruit of sin. And when we live in sin, we often continue to live under that paradigm, the woman being dominated by the man. They go on to interpret scripture falsely again in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says the woman should subject herself to her husband, and repeatedly telling us that the woman should be subject to her husband, her spouse, obedient to him as we are to Christ. And then men twist and interpret the scriptures falsely to use that as a justification to treat their wife like a child or like somebody less than him or not as equal. But they fail and they refuse to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, where God says, be subject to one another out of love for Christ. Time and again, we see in history, and even with the twisted approach of interpreting scripture, the subjugation of women as not our equal. Sadly, we have seen that and continue to see that in many ways in the church. For too often and for too long, religious women were used as house cleaners and cooks, as if they didn't have the intellectual capacity to be scholars and academics and serve the church in other ways of leadership. And Pope Francis, thankfully, is putting more and more women in leadership and decision-making positions in the Vatican and in the church. For too long, we have ignored the majority of Catholics and their voice, which are women, not men. And time and again, they have been abused. We hear over and over again of many religious orders recently founded since Vatican II, whose founders would abuse women and religious sisters and take advantage of them while they prance around appearing holy, a founder of a religious order, a man who's done great things, and the women's voices silenced for too long. Over and over again, we see this abuse and mistreatment of women to the contrary of how God is and what he calls us men to be. Talitha kum, little girl, arise. In the beginning, it was not so. Before original sin, God created Eve from the rib of Adam, meaning she is your equal. That's why when a husband and wife marry, they stand rib to rib, and the two become one flesh, just as the one became two from the rib of Adam. The symbolism is very clear and very important. Adam, she is your equal. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Be fruitful and multiply. That was God's intention from the beginning, until original sin and personal and societal sin and the pandemic of this ongoing sin throughout the world and in cultures. Women, even under religious guise, were considered impure and unclean whenever they bled, knowing full well, biologically, that without that monthly process, none of us would be alive, none of us would exist, life would end as we know it. And yet, because of that, under the guise of religious purity laws, even today, and in Jesus' time, when they bled, they were considered unclean. They could not touch nor be touched, and they could not enter the temple to pray. That's why this moment where the woman with the hemorrhage touching Jesus' cloak would have been a great scandal to the people who heard Mark's gospel or read it for the first time after Jesus' death and resurrection. They would have been horrified that a woman with an impurity would dare touch the cloak of a great teacher or a Messiah, because society would have stoned her to death for doing so, rendering the great rabbi unclean. But instead, Jesus heals her, and he insists on finding out who she is. The reason why she's horrified and filled with fear and trembling as she approached him is because she knows, I have a bleed, I'm impure according to the religious and cultural customs of my day, and I just touched a rabbi. I deserve death. She fell down before Jesus and admitted the truth, knowing she was risking her life. And instead of stoning her to death and humiliating her for something that is beyond her control, Jesus says, and some translations translate it, daughter, take courage. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction. This is the gentle, loving, dignified way of treating women that God shows us in the person of Christ Jesus, true God and true man. To set an example and a model for how all men should treat women as our equal. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, often quoted as a means for justifying the subjugation of women to the will of the husband, goes on to say that the man must lay down his life for his wife, just as Jesus did for the church unto the cross, to hold her up pure, dignified, with beauty and purity, immaculate, he says, that when a man loves the woman rightly, she is lifted up, not torn down. A little girl would be someone that a famous rabbi or leader of the community would have no care or interest of, except if she were of childbearing age. They would give them no attention. The fact that Jesus stopped what he was doing and headed straight to the synagogue official's house told everyone something that was countercultural. Even little girls matter. And so he takes his time to go into the room while people laugh in his face. "You fool." They ridiculed him. How often are we ridiculed for what we believe, contrary to the culture of our day? And in spite of them laughing in his face, he does who he is, and he heals the little girl. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." They are our equal. Now today, that sense of equality has gone to an extreme that contradicts biology and nature and reason. Because we are equal does not mean we are the same. Men can't give birth. Men don't have that incredible gift of bringing life into the world. Man and woman are different, but that difference doesn't make us unequal. It makes us equal, even in our differences. And so that's why women can't be priests, just as men cannot consecrate themselves as a virgin to the Lord or bring life into the world. Our natures are different, but that difference is meant to be complementarity, a complementarity that makes us greater as a whole. But sin focuses on the difference to bring and introduce a sense of inequality or conflict, where God created them different to create life and reveal how he is. Though we call him Father, he is pure spirit. He is literally neither male nor female. He has no physical body to be so. And we know from Scripture and our church's teachings that we can only understand God the Father fully, seeing man and woman together in the fullness of what it means to be a woman and what the fullness of what it means to be a man. And only in that complementarity and totality of the two created equal do we have a more accurate and clear image of who and how God is, even though we call him Father. "Little girl, arise." These are the words of Jesus. "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has saved you and healed you." As we hear the scriptures today and we see the gentle, loving sweetness of Christ toward women of all ages, it is a teaching moment for us men to be reminded of how we are to treat women. Their value is in their person, not in their parts. I was shopping recently with a friend of mine and his wife and their daughter, and it was incredibly and profoundly disturbing to see how difficult it was for them to find clothes for their teenage girl where the shorts were longer, they were shorter than my underwear, and the shirts tighter than my t-shirts. And everything they go to look for to try to buy clothes for her are clothes that are designed to emphasize the parts. And she's a child. And even if she's a grown woman, the problem is still the same. The message is clear. Your attention is only worthy to the extent that your parts are notable. Jesus lifts up the dignity of these women as persons, both the 12-year-old and the woman suffering for 12 years from a hemorrhage. As persons, you are equal. And I pray today that every woman here, even the little girl inside them, hears these same gentle, loving words of Jesus with his hand extended toward you. And in the face of male chauvinism, may you hear him tell you, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Out of the experience of femicide, domestic violence, unequal pay, unequal treatment, may you hear the words of Jesus calling you out of that lie and sin and darkness. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." In the temptation to reduce your dignity to your parts by how you dress or how you act, may you hear the words of Jesus calling you to the fullness and dignity of you as a person. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And when culture or society or even a priest or bishop mistreat you, misspeak to you, mishandle you in his care, And you hear these words of Jesus calling you to speak out lovingly, but clearly and directly to those who have done wrong, no matter who they are. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Your dignity demands it. God created you so. And your example as women will teach the little girls entrusted to you how they should be treated, how they can speak up or not, and how they are valued or not. You are leaving a legacy for those who come after you, as the women over the centuries have done the same, to be a voice in society, to be a voice in the church, to speak the truth to power, regardless of what position they have. May you have the strength and the courage that rose this little girl from death and healed this woman from a hemorrhage, hearing the words of Jesus time and again as your conscience and your heart is moved. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Talitha kum.